This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Portals and Portents by Leslie Herron. Chapter 2, Spinel.
And done!
With barely a moment of hesitation, Eric pressed a dusty button on the ancient keyboard. He licked his lips hungrily as he watched thousands of lines of code work their way through a computer that likely predated sliced bread.
Come on, baby. You can do it.
He looked up. In the center of the room, a glowing thread of light hung weightlessly in the air. There was a pulse, and then another as blue light poured from the fissure. Eric held his breath as the tips began to lengthen, and a second and third crack broke off the main split. He had just exhaled his worries with a sigh when the entire thing collapsed back into the single, hair-thin strand it had been moments before.
No!
Eric repeatedly tapped his index finger against the key.
Why won't you work?
Easy there. Do you know how long it took to find you that, the digital typewriter? We had to raid the Brotherhood stronghold to get it.
Eric pulled his hand away, rubbing his tired eyes with it before he glanced over at his doppelganger from this world, Elias, who was busy scribbling on one of the many chalkboards that lined the small room. He could say the two of them were identical in almost every aspect, except for their differing opinions on fashion. Happy to have shed his royal garb and don his beloved, albeit bedraggled, Hawaiian shirt once more, Eric returned to the ancient computer.
You know, when I agreed to help you...
He paused, reaching to check the connection of a cable on a monitor that looked to be among the first of its kind.
I figured you would have more modern technology.
He pulled out a loose cable that didn't even have the right ends to fit with his setup. It had been roughly 18 months since Eric crashed into that damp forest, and here he was, trying to coax a dinosaur of a machine into performing advanced calculations in the heart of a school for the mystical arts. He never even had a chance to fully marvel at the revelation that this tower was in its own pocket dimension, as the stress of struggling to combine science with magic weighed heavy on him. He tossed the cable aside.
These components are probably older than I am. Well, as they say, beggars can't be choosers.
Elias set down the chalk, examining the blackboard and his math.
But don't fret. Your ingenuity has won the day. At least you got it to interface with the Ophanum.
He gave a lofty wave of his hand, gesturing along the tangle of wires linked to various points on a spinning series of interlocking rings, before plucking up a long-forgotten mug. Wincing at the chaotic mess of cables, Eric chose to ignore them and flopped down in the chair in front of the computer. He ran the back of his hand across the dusty screen to see a laundry list of issues, the last several lines stating, "Unknown error."
Don't get your hopes up just yet. The computer may be interfacing with that thing, but it sure isn't playing nice.
He would have loved to know more about the mystical relic known as the Ophanum. Where had it come from? Or how did Wilfred and the other teachers use it to peer into an infinite number of worlds? But given his time restraints, Eric kept his questions to himself. A few zapped fingers and singed eyebrows later, he had successfully managed to connect the Ophanum to his ancient computer and used its energy to create a tear in the fabric of their reality. But there was something preventing it from opening beyond that point. This latest attempt was just another in a long line to brute force the machines into controlling the rift.
This would go a whole lot easier if I had something I knew how to work with.
He let out a long sigh. Everything had failed them this far. With a twisted face of disgust, Elias set down his cup of cold coffee and leaned over his twin shoulder to watch him enter in a string of code. He frowned as he struggled to keep up with the cryptic, glowing text. The numbers, words, and symbols made little sense to him.
"Then we are both at a disadvantage."
He straightened up, adjusting his spectacles as he did. While he was proud to say that he was a quick learner, and quite intelligent, thank you very much, he felt himself woefully undereducated with this form of technology, not to mention the marrying of science and magic. Even though he had spent the last 50 years on a world in the middle of its own industrial revolution, he found the concept of their lofty goals to be entirely beyond his current skills. Eric cracked his knuckles and settled in, already feeling the inevitable migraine creeping up.
"We're gonna need more of that hot bean juice." "Ugh, this is pointless!"
2 days, 48 solid hours of combing through code. And for what? Eric pressed the enter key again and again until he was quite literally slamming his finger against it.
"This machine is garbage. Our plan is..."
He let out an unstable chuckle.
"Laughable, to say the least. And even though I know we've done the math right, nothing is working."
As if in response to his abuse, the computer locked up with a bright blue error message before the entire machine powered off. Eric grabbed the ends of his hair and tugged, letting out a feral scream of rage between locked lips. And in a flash, his anger was spent, and he slumped in the chair, his head hitting the table.
"Are you throwing a tantrum?"
Elias paused, turning around to face his twin, the chalk still held in his hand.
I need to get back to my brother."
Despite Eric's muttered comment, Elias had made it out quite clearly and felt a muscle tense in his jaw. He had done some soul-searching and made peace with his altercation with the cyborg, even going so far as to agree with many of the points Vel had made. Yet he found the very mention of the metal man to be irksome. With a lick of his lips, he turned back to one of the many chalkboards that lined the room.
"Stop pouting. It won't help us solve the problem any faster. And I don't know why you worry so much about your brother."
Eric looked up.
"Don't you ever worry about Varen?"
The chalk stopped an inch from the board as Elias hesitated at the question. He turned back to his twin with a slight frown on his face.
"I sent my brother away as an act of compassion, because I care about him. Being around me is a constant reminder of the worst day of his life."
He sat down the chalk and moved towards the table, scrutinizing the dusty machine.
"And, at the moment, I'm unable to undo the mess that Lucian has created with his ability to rule. So, yes, I do worry about my brother, but I did what was best for him."
Studying the other man for a moment, Elias clapped a commiserating hand on his shoulder.
"I've met your brother, and he seems well-adjusted to thrive in turmoil. More so than Varen. I'm sure he'll be fine on his own for a bit longer."
"I don't know. He won't be okay if he spirals."
Eric frowned.
"He's not as tough as everyone thinks. He overthrew my city and broke my nose."
Elias pulled his hand away, tucking it behind his back. Resisting an urge to chuckle, Eric reached over and powered on the ancient computer once more. He glanced over at a tiny, polished mirror, no bigger than a teacup. Of all the mirrors in the gallery, each one a window into another world, only one remained connected to the Ophanum. At the moment, it showed an empty room, but he knew Vel would return soon.
"He's probably soaking away his troubles at the bottom of a bottle."
He shifted his gaze from the mirror back to the monitor.
If he doesn't have something to hold on to, he'll drown. That's why I have to get back to him, so I can get him home. A blinking green line greeted him once more, and Eric scratched at his scruff before diving back into the long process of retrieving code from the depths of the computer's spotty memory banks. Everything that's happened to him, it's all my fault. He tapped the enter key and shifted his gaze to the floating blue fissure in reality that hovered silently above his head. But there was no change. There was never any change. He hung his head in defeat, threading his fingers into his hair. I have to fix something before I can't fix anything.
Is that why you're willing to risk reality?
A craggy voice rose from the edge of the room.
Because your brother's feelings are hurt?
Elias rolled his eyes as he folded his arms lazily across his chest. He took several steps towards the old man.
Again with the attitude.
Wilfred looked up, his face pulling into a defiant scowl before he shifted his gaze to the false king.
Well, I say boo-hoo. Everyone suffers, and everyone has to deal with it in some way. Tell your brother to grow up.
Need I remind you that the sooner you help us with this, the sooner you are free to leave.
Turning his anger towards the real king, Wilfred jumped to his feet, slamming his hands on the table.
And I've told you...
The old man's words were cut from his mouth when he felt his teeth snap together as he was forcefully yanked back into his chair. He turned to see tragedy, the king's bodyguard wrapping coils of chain around his hand. Wilfred let out an exasperated sigh as he placed his hands on the table, the manacles clinking against his wrists.
The longer it takes you to succeed, the longer we all remain alive.
He looked from one twin to the other.
Both of you are exceedingly thick, aren't you?
Eric looked up, his face contorting into a hurt expression.
Hey, I'm not an idiot. I know the math.
He jumped to his feet to move from one blackboard to the next, tapping at each equation.
I've double and triple checked it. This isn't even my first time proving the theory.
He picked up a stack of theoretical designs and blueprints.
Everything here says that.
He flung his hands towards the fissure, slinging the stack of papers as he did.
Stupid crack in reality should be a portal.
Perhaps it is the morality of the situation that is holding you back.
Wilfred lifted his hands, showcasing his iron manacles.
If it is not sympathy for me, then it is possible that the single brain cell you two share is telling you that countless people will die if you continue with your plan.
Eric faltered. He looked over his shoulder at the king and felt a pit drop into his gut. He tried not to think about the possible fallout if Wilfred's predictions were accurate. Reading the situation, Elias set down the mess of papers he had been in the process of picking up. He gave the old wizard a warm smile.
I've already told you that this plan isn't perfect, but any injuries or fatalities would be minimal and possibly zero if you were to lend your intellect instead of chiding us from the corner.
He gestured to the blackboards, the papers, and the computer.
Tell us where the flaw in our process is, and you'll rest easier knowing that you've prevented harm to countless people.
Very well.
He wasn't a fool. Wilfred could see a twinkle in the king's eyes, but the other one, the imposter whose shoulders were slouched with guilt, perhaps he could be reasoned with. He sat up in his chair, the chains around his wrist clinking noisily.
Perhaps explaining the impossibility of your goal will have the desired effect. The problem with your math is that it doesn't account for time dilation.
Eric scoffed, scratching at that spot behind his ear.
Time dilation has never been a factor in any of the portal hoppers I've developed, and they've all worked just fine. It's a non-issue.
As I said, thick.
Wilfred wrangled out a sweet from inside his brightly colored robes.
You may have opened portals into other realities, but I imagine only for a short amount of time, and traversing the space between them was never very pleasant, was it?
He popped the little round candy into his mouth, smacking his lips together as he did. Ready to argue, Eric hesitated. The old man made a fair point. Every gate and vortex that he and his friends had traversed through were all uncomfortable. Some with suffocating pressure and others similar to slogging through tar.
Ah, I see the wheels beginning to turn.
Wilfred pulled over a blank sheet of paper, scribbling out a diagram as he spoke.
Your process, as it stands right now, is the equivalent of stepping off one moving carriage and onto another as they travel at different speeds.
He scratched the quill into the paper, demonstrating with furious lines and aggravated circles.
In the past, you simply punched a hole from one place to another, stretching yourself between them. This here is more like trying to straddle them both as they move farther and farther away from each other.
Eric paled as he looked over to the math on the chalkboards, the papers still strewn about. There was an entire fourth dimension they had failed to take into account. For something as small and limited as his portal hopper, time dilation was never an issue. But this? He glanced up at the Ophanum and felt the room sway beneath him before he collapsed into the nearest seat.
Time is always in flux. Like the moon, it waxes and wanes, grows faster and slower. It only appears constant to those within a specific time stream.
Wilfred replaced the quill into its inkwell and sat back in his chair.
If you want this asinine plan of yours to work, you would have to account for the speed of both worlds as they shift moment to moment.
He folded his hands into his lap.
I told you messing with portals was dangerous in the best of circumstances.
With a smile, Elias gestured around the room.
Then it's a good thing three of the smartest people are gathered together in one space.
Eric raked his eyes across every marking on the chalkboards. He felt sick as the numbers shifted in his mind's eye, grouping into ever more complex equations, transforming the overall math into something that even a supercomputer would struggle with, let alone the computer that time forgot.
You don't understand.
He shook his head as he slumped farther into his chair, defeated.
Adding a fourth dimension adds exponential obstacles. The number of factors we would have to account for would be
in the trillions.
Wilfred gave him a smug grin.
And if you get any one of them wrong, well...
He made a show of chomping down on his hard candy, shattering it in his mouth. Elias idly wondered where the old codger kept getting the small treats. He suspected Pyra was sneaking them to him when he wasn't looking. She had developed a soft spot for the old windbag, visiting him whenever she wasn't down by the river, dipping her toes in the water. He hated to admit it, but he was a little jealous.
You seem to know an awful lot about this. Perhaps something to encourage your help is in order.
He gave Tragedy a wordless gesture with a flick of his fingers. Eric held up a hand.
Whoa! We're not there yet.
His eyes darted between the king and his henchmen. He didn't like how easily his doppelganger resorted to violence.
I need time. But even if, by some miracle, we get the math worked out, we don't have the processing power to pull it all off. I mean, I suppose we could try to fudge it, but the results could be, well...
His thoughts were interrupted when he felt a sharp pain somewhere in the back of his mind. He looked down to see his shadow fold its arms expressively in an angry manner.
"We need to talk."
Elias turned, raising a brow.
"Alone."
"I need a bathroom break."
Eric didn't wait for permission or approval before he jumped from his chair and bolted for the door. He heaved it open and stepped through, sighing as he shut it behind him. He could still hear the king and Wilfred arguing just on the other side, and knew his shadow bug wouldn't be happy until they were truly on their own. Elias had proven to be able to sense whenever Wraith spoke up, likely a side effect of their similar abilities, or perhaps it was the connection of the entity inside the king. Eric sighed, scratching at his scruff. Whatever the cause, it scared his shadow bug into silence unless they were completely alone. Endless twists and turns led Eric through dusty arches and abandoned classrooms. The Infinite Tower was by no means infinite. It was a massive feat of medieval ingenuity, yes, but not immeasurable. But a building inside its own pocket dimension had its perks. If something went wrong with their invention, a forsaken school in the middle of nowhere would have far fewer casualties than in Bastion Hall. The Royal Guard had even been relocated to the nearby town, much to their chagrin. He ran his hand along the walls of the castle as he retraced his own steps through the darkened corridors. Initially, they had only hoped to borrow the Ophanum from Wilfred. But negotiations had gone poorly? Okay, so they had been a complete disaster. But they needed the relic, hence the captive wizard upstairs. At last, the door he was looking for appeared. The sudden drop in temperature sent a shiver along his spine as Eric stepped over the threshold and into the room covered in freezing charms. This arcane walk-in refrigerator was one of the few rooms he knew wouldn't have something that could potentially explode or transfigure him into a chicken or something. It would appear the arcane arts attracted just as many crackpot inventors as any other field. As he pulled the door shut behind him, his breath formed a faint fog that clouded the lenses of his glasses.
"Okay, Wraith, we're alone. What did you want?"
His shadow shifted around until it was sitting on a nearby barrel.
"I don't like this plan."
Mimicking his shadow bug, Eric slumped down against a stack of empty wooden crates.
"I know. I know you don't like this plan. You've told me 100 times. Even I don't like this plan, but Elias has made some fair points. Reopening the portals into his world would bring back trade and prosperity. That betters the lives of everyone."
"I do not like being so close to the king. There is something bad inside him."
Eric busied himself with a jar that contained several pickled herrings.
"We've gone over all this before. I know he's got some dead..."
"Dormant."
Pursing his lips, Eric looked up.
"Some dormant god inside of him, but he has everything under control for now."
He set the jar back onto a shelf.
"With the portals reopened, I can get back to my brother and we can all go home."
A sad smile tugged at his lips.
"I think you'll like it there. My house is attached to a morgue."
"You are being foolish."
Caught off guard by the seriousness of his shadow bug's tone, Eric pulled his gaze away from the jar.
"I don't..."
"If something like me can tell your plan is dumb, then it must be really dumb."
His moment of surprise turned to anger, and Eric frowned.
"Of course. You know, out of everyone I thought would support me, it turns out you're just like the others. I know what I'm doing."
He stood, that guilt fading as his resolve hardened.
"And just like I told Evan, Atlas, and Barry, you two are free to leave at any time."
Several tense moments passed as Eric waited for an argument that never came. Silence flooded the room and his shadow returned to a normal absence of light. Closing his eyes, he sighed and pressed his forehead against one of the cold shelves. He hated losing his temper, but the stress and lack of sleep were wearing him thin. Couldn't they see? This was the only way to get his brother back. It was the only way to fix the problem he created. Sorry, Wraith. There was no response. It took him longer to find his way back to the gallery than Herrick would have liked, made all the more difficult by the fact that the layout of the building constantly shifted. But he recognized the correct door by the shadowy figure of Bob standing sentry. He had been in such a rush to leave that he had failed to acknowledge the creature's presence before. His brief moment of confidence faded as guilt and pain washed over him. His faithful friend had reverted to a mindless zombie at the True King's return. Elias radiated some sort of influence that forced them to do his bidding with no sense of self. Without diving into the workings of the creature's artificial soul, he was unable to release his hold and refused to tempt fate by trying. They didn't yet know what would activate the sleeping deity within him.
"Don't worry, Bob."
Eric gave the creature a gentle pat on the shoulder and straightened his makeshift medal of valor.
"I'll figure out how to fix you, too."
Everyone left him, one way or the other. He offered the zombie one last sad look before he entered the room, clearing his emotions with a cough.
Sorry about that.
He avoided the attention and sank back into the chair in front of the computer.
"Is everything all right?"
Elias looked over at his twin, noting something was off with the man.
"I'm fine."
Eric waved off the unnecessary gesture with a flick of his wrist.
"I just got a little queasy thinking about this mathematical behemoth we have to slay." "Well, as my father always told me, never go into battle without the proper weapon."
Elias smiled as he stood, moving around the long table.
"I have just the thing to get your processing power."
Eric glanced over the top of the massive monitor to see Tragedy hauling a large object into the room that he had never seen before. From the looks of it, it was something right out of a steampunk novel. It had been a copper robot at some point in its life, with a large, barrel-chested body, thin, coiled arms, and a head shaped like a bowling ball. The top half of its cranium was missing, however, and a tangle of wires hung loosely from the cavity. It stared back at him with tiny, dead, black eyes.
"What is this?"
"The solution to our problems."
We thank you for joining us for this chapter of the novel Of Portals and Portents, Book 4 by Leslie Herron, in this ongoing series available here on Tall Tale TV. You can find links in the description to where you can listen to all her books and novellas, with new chapters appearing as they are being written and recorded.
"I need a bathroom break."
"Well now, alone at last. Back to my earlier question. Will you help us willingly, or do you require some encouragement?"
"Ha! Better men than you have tried. Do your worst, pointy ears."
"Very well. You leave me little choice. Give me the candies."
"What? Ha! You can't be serious. This is your plan? Pathetic."
"Well, then you won't care if I take them."
"I won't even dignify that with a response."
"Tragedy, hold him."
"What? No! Get your hands off me!"
"Let's see."
"Stop."
"Ah, here's one."
"Those are mine."
"And another."
"No! Let me go."
"Ooh, what's this?"
Not the strawberry one. You monster.